Thank you.
Yeah.
What are we singing?
Choose something. I don't know if the rabbi's gonna know it. Something everyone can get.
Oh, you turned off?
Good. We started off.
Kikaro.
All right, Steve.
I want to thank the following sponsors: Aaron Schiller. For a Kara Satov to Derek and Lauren Fine for schlepping him to Lakewood. That must have been a fun ride.
Got it. Tell him to sit. It's Jesse. Invite him to sit next to you. Good. Good. Okay. He's got this. Time. Okay.
All right. Next up, thank you to Jerry Applebaum in honor of his son Jacob's engagement to Amber Hazan from
Mazel Tov.
And for a four Shlema for Jerry's grandson, Sheila Oren Ben Batya Levana.
Before Shlema.
Amen. And a Mazel Tov, Matt and Rena Walters, in honor of the birth of a baby girl this morning to their children.
Oh, Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov.
Chaim.
Chaim.
And Shirley Rosenberg. Oh, you're getting us on video. I get it. In honor of Yehuda Rose and the clock, may they have a very healthy, fabulously wealthy Zadie. I'm so lost on this one.
Amen. Halavai.
Any questions?
Halavai.
Also, special thank you to Yosef La Familia. I hope I pronounced that correctly. La Familia. He's a food truck in front of Community Garage across from 7 Mile Market.
Wow.
That's fantastic. And they reached out to me about 3 weeks ago. Thank you to Ilya, a good friend, for setting that up. Wanting to give back to the shuls in the community, of which ours was one. They were thrilled when they heard about the chabura.
Wow.
We were trying to make it work out for the past number of weeks, so the food is sponsored by them. Down to the plating, everything was delicious, so please give them your business.
Yeah.
He's a real mensch, real mesiris nefesh.
Incredible. Sure, that's the right thing to say. A good night of Shabbos, a tremendous chos baruch Hashem to be all turned together. So we are continuing tonight the Mirat Hashem in the Piyajetzna on Pesach. We'll say, just pass that down over here. This way. All right, so we're going to do Emirat Hashem, we'll do two pieces together, two pieces from the Rebbe. And again, as I mentioned, all right, as I mentioned last week, Emirat Hashem, this week we're gonna go in the order over here of the Haggadah. So we'll see different pieces over the course. We only have, I think we have two more shiurim, right? We have next week and then the week after, Amir Hashem.
If we're lucky, the week after.
So Amir Hashem, we'll get a little bit over here of just some of the Rebbe's Hisorus as we go into the Yom Tov of Pesach together. So tonight we're going to begin, Amir Hashem, with a piece on Halach Ma'anyo. So again, I will say, so remember, as I mentioned yesterday, so remember, the Rebbe didn't write the Perush on the Haggadah. So what you see over here in front of you is really like a likot, like a collection of the Rebbe's Torah from different places that was kind of, you know, not attributed, but that was connected to different parts in the Haggadah. So here again, of course, the section is Halach Ma'anyo, which is the beginning of the section of Magid. And in this particular section, we speak about the bread of affliction. We speak about matzah. Matzah, of course, has multiple identities over the course. Let's say the bread of affliction, bread of freedom. And the Rebbe says as follows. If you take a look on the bottom, so this is on page, it's the page that says Halach Ma'anyo on it, page 17. The bottom section that says Halayla Hazeh Hishtokakus. Shtokakus. So remember again, here the Rebbe is actually making mention also of the Manishtana, right? And so much of the Manishtana, so much of this is the Halayla Hazeh piece, the idea that there's something so incredibly unique about the Leil HaSeder, something so unique just about the entire experience over here about the Leil HaSeder. So the Rebbe writes as follows. He says, and this is really, this is a piece, I actually was thinking about doing this a little bit closer to Pesach, but then realizing that there really is so much profundity in this piece, and being that this is Shabbos Mevarach, I'm going into Chodesh Nisan, I think that there's a little bit of an opportunity for us to set the stage for what we want the coming month to be, and kind of like what we want to accomplish, and what we want to make of ourselves, and what we want to make of this month. So the Rebbe says as follows, Halayla Zeh, B'mea Pesach Yodeahu Kvar Bikirbo Ki Yisraelhu. You know, when the days of Pesach come, so a Yid begins to feel something different inside of his heart, right? Already again, inside of himself, he begins to feel that he's Yisrael. What does that mean? And it's so beautiful. Lo dai lo halel echad sha'amar u'beshira achas lo shaketa nafsho. You know, it's not enough just to say the halel during the Seder. Remember again, many have the beautiful custom to say halel already at night after Ma'ariv and Shul. Right? That idea, where does that come? We're going to say halal as part of the Haggadah not so long afterwards. Why do you have to start saying halal in shul? The idea is that the neshama is bursting with such incredible excitement that one halal is not enough. One halal is not enough, right? B'shira achos lo shaketa nafsho aso eres. And again, the Rosh, if you notice how the Rebbe describes the state of the neshama, the state of the soul on the night of the Seder, is he says again, nafsho haso eres. What does so eres mean? Sa'ar means what?
Stormy.
Stormy, right? Say, isn't it incredible how the Rebbe, the way he describes the Yiddish and the Shema, the way he describes the Jewish soul, he doesn't describe it as inspired, right? He doesn't. He describes it as stormy. You know what happens? What happens on a stormy night, right? A stormy night. You can imagine a person, right, is on a boat on a stormy night. What happens, right? The storm, it upsets everything. Nothing is status quo. Everything is turned upside down. He says, a yid comes to the night of the Seder, and the truth is, the nefesh, the neshama, it's so'ira, it's stormy. It's stormy. I know that there's so much koach, there's so much ability, there's so much beauty, there's so much kedusha, there's so much I could be, there's so much I could accomplish, there's so much I could do. So it's not even just the fact that I'm inspired. I'm inspired, we're all inspired the whole year. But Pesach, it's a storminess. It's a storminess. So I'll say, and I'll tell you one of the things that's going to be very exciting about this year, is with the Seder falling on Matzei Shabbos. You know, there's actually an opportunity to come into the Seder, you know, not like falling on your face. You know, not like a mensch, not falling on your face, and they're not exhausted, and not looking at your watch, but really just the opportunity to be well-rested and to go into the Seder and to really have a Seder. You know, so you know what it means to have a Seder? How do you know if you have a good Seder? So I would say a good Seder is kind of like davening at our shul. They both have the same thing in common, which is, don't look at your watch, right? Because you're only going to get frustrated. Don't look at your watch, right? Again, that's why we've never had a clock on the wall of a shul. You will never find the clock on any wall of this entire Beis HaKnesses. There is no clock. Many people have donated clocks, right? They go to that great place where clocks go to die, right? There's a box of clocks in the shul office, right? Thank you to everyone who donated them. They don't go on the walls here. Why don't they go on the walls here? Because this is a place where you come. A shul in general is a place where you come. Shul is lamalim in azman. What does it matter? What does it matter if davening is 2.5 hours or 3.5 hours? What does it make a difference? What does it matter? We're here to accomplish great things. What does it make a difference if the Seder goes until 1 or the Seder goes until 3? What does it matter? It's not about the time. It's not about time. We'll say, you know, again, no one ever watches the clock, right? When the football game goes into overtime. Oh, I can't believe I'm so upset. Goes into overtime, right? Overgrown men in tight pants jumping all over each other, right? I can't believe went into overtime. Let's say, again, because when you enjoy something, it doesn't make a difference how long it takes. It doesn't make a difference. So the Rebbe says over here, we come to the Leil HaSeder, and literally again, my neshama is stormy. It's stormy. It's literally, again, it's churning inside because I know that I know that at the Seder, the month of Nisan, the month of Pesach, I have the ability to accomplish incredible things. So literally, my neshama is in a state of upheaval. Now, listen, now what happens during the storm, right? If you're that boat on the water, what happens? You don't know what's going to happen, right? What's going to be in the end? Like, is the boat going to capsize? Is the boat going to make it? To a certain degree, it's the same thing with spiritual storminess as well. What's going to happen? Now, the good news is I'm not going to capsize, but I could come out of spiritual storminess the same person, same exact person, or I could choose to affect dramatic change. That's the power of Pesach, the power of Nisan. The Rebbe goes on, Hayomim Yimei Kedem Heim. This is so beautiful. The days of Pesach are like Yimei Kedem. What does that mean? Hagan Eden Yorad Lo Li Olam Hazeh V'Hu Yoshev Bo. When the Yomtov of Pesach comes, it is literally as if Gan Eden comes down into this world and I get to sit in Gan Eden. 8 days of Gan Eden. V'kulo ne'pach li'ish acher. And I have the ability to transform myself into someone fundamentally different. I just want to point out to you something very interesting. So you'll say to yourself, right, if you're not used to the Piagetsnas, right, you'll say to yourself, well, where did the Rebbe get this from? Where did he get this from? And if you ask that question, you know what you are? You know what you are? If you ask that question? A Kalter Litvak. Not just a Litvak, right? A Kalter Litvak. No. No. That's a little too strong. Just understand, all kidding aside, remember, so much of what the Piagetsna does is the Piagetsna describes the experiential nature of Yiddishkeit. And the experiential nature doesn't have a footnote right? The Rebbe is not quoting from, you know, Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Kuf. That's not where he's quoting from. What the Rebbe is giving us, the Rebbe is saying, I'm going to tell you in the neshama what we experience. That's not a gemara. It's not a medrash. It's not a maimer chazal. It's a truth. It's an MS that resides inside of the soul of the yid. And what the Rebbe is telling us, I will say, you know, if I open up my, it's true. It's true. Comes the night of Pesach, there's something so fundamentally different that happens. There's an energy that's there. Just, you know what the great challenge is? So often, I'm just so tired. And I'm so like, when is this going to be over? That I don't give myself the opportunity to open up my soul and to be able to ingest like the turbulent spirituality that is churning all around me. So literally Pesach comes, the Rebbe says, Gan Eden comes down to this world. Gan Eden comes down to this world and I have the ability to transform myself into someone different. I'll call upon him. Le'ikve ish Yisrael amiti higia. If nothing else, we'll say it's incredible. What Pesach gives me the opportunity to do is to go ahead and encounter my true self. I was saying, you know, that's, we've learned this many times in the Rebbe's words, that a lot of times we spend a lot of life running from our true selves. Remember again, in B'nai Machshava Tova, the Rebbe says the greatest challenge we have is what? Getting in touch with my neshama. I'm not in touch with my soul. I have erected so many barriers and so many walls and so many partitions and so many divisions. And I have this whole narrative of who I am and what I am. And a lot of times, it's not true. It's not true. I'm not who I project to be. I'm not who I pretend to be. But the beauty of the Antav of Pesach is it gives us the opportunity to reorient ourselves with our true self. We go free. We are emancipated. We have this ability to find the true me. The Rebbe goes on. Lozeh ha-moach, this is incredible. Lozeh ha-moach v'lozeh ha-alev shekol ha-shana. The mind of Pesach and the heart of Pesach is different than the mind of the heart of the entire year. Lel Pesach kvarba. The night of Pesach comes, v'unase lahar bo'er, and I become like a burning mountain, like a har, right, as a reference to Har Sinai, har bo'er ba'ish. I become like a burning mountain. Ha'ish misparitz v'efshol is apek adaseder. The fire burns inside of me again. I think what the Rebbe is also referring to over here is comes Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is why this is such an important piece. Comes Rosh Chodesh Nisan. By the time Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes again, the fire is burning inside of me already. And again, I can't even hold it in until the Seder. Umuchrach takeif b'mariv lomar halel. And already by mariv already, as we said before, I can't hold it in. I want to point out something amazing. Pesach is the one yontif. It's interesting how, if you notice, like, I would venture to say that come like Rosh Chodesh Adar, people don't necessarily have like a burning desire to learn Megillas Esther. Right, it's interesting, right? I know the Megillah is coming. But what's fascinating is people have this desire to learn the Haggadah. Right? It's fascinating. There's, you know, they say that the Haggadah is like the number one Judaically selling book, right? People are like, there's something about the Haggadah that draws us into it already from the beginning of the month. Right? I want to learn the Haggadah. I want the Divrei Torah. I want the Peshetlach. I want everything. The Rebbe says, because at the end of the day comes Chodesh Nisan, there's a fire that's burning inside of me. And I think that fire is going to come out, but I can't even hold it until the Seder. So already by Ma'ariv on the first night of the, already by Ma'ariv the first night of Seder Pesach, I need to say Ma'ariv, I need to say Hallel. Really? Go home. You're going to have the Seder. There's plenty of time for Hallel, plenty of time for singing, plenty of time for everything else. I can't wait. I just can't wait. I need to do it right now. Umuchrach, take it from Ma'ariv lomar Hallel. The Kama Chazak Ha'guf, Sha'omir Alamdo, B'Shah Sha'alev and Hashama, Kach Miraktim Umifazizim. But here's the problem. Right, the problem is the body, right? The body gets in the way a little bit, right? And the body often stands in the way of the neshama, right? The neshama is ready to dance. The neshama is ready to do. The neshama is ready to celebrate. The neshama is ready to do all of these things. But the body kind of, you know, stands its ground and keeps the neshama in check, holds the neshama back a little bit. And when we finish halal and shul on the first night of Pesach, v'omer nochach Hashem, when we finish up, right? That halal in shul, kimat namaz limbo bekirbo. It's like my heart is ready to melt inside of me. Rebbe say, do you hear what the Rebbe is describing over here? Do you hear this state of spiritual elation? This state of literally being on fire for the Ribbon Hashem. Rebbe say, this is not an intellectual thing. What the Rebbe is saying is, now, Rebbe, you might say to yourself, oh, that's the Piagetzna. Right? The Piagetzna feels that. I don't feel that. We all feel it. We all feel it. Here's the difference. The Piagetzna Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh L'Bracha, Zechusa Yagin, the Rebbe allowed himself to feel it. We often have like spiritual blockers, right? We have to, for whatever the reason, I'm going to say, we're scared. You know, it's the same way. Why don't we all like daven out loud? Right, right. Like Kabbalah Shabbos comes. Like, why am I not like screaming on the top of my lungs? Right? Why is it? I want to. So what holds me back?
Listening too much.
Right? No, what holds me back is like I don't want to look weird. Right? I don't want to look weird. You know, I whatever. You know, and maybe like I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy that davens out loud. Right? I'm not that guy. Like, so like it's interesting. Even though I want to, like I want to just tell you something. The best Kabbalah Shabbos is dafka when you don't hear the chazan, right? When you don't hear the chazan because everyone else's collective voice is drowning out, that's a kabbalah. If you can hear the chazan, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Then that's a concert. That's called the concert. And in Judaism, we're really not big fans of concerts. Not don't look at each other, avoid eye contact one another over here. Whatever you're talking about over here. Steve's not here. Right? Stop it. Whatever that is. Stop it, right? Concerts are good. What are concerts? Concerts are like spectator sports. You go and you enjoy. Concert is a joy. It's a performance opportunity. In Yiddishkeit, again, when I daven, I don't want a concert. I don't want to hear the chazan. I want the chazan to start off the first note, and then I want the chazan's voice to be drowned out by everyone else screaming on the top of their lungs. But it's so much nicer to hear the chazan. No, it's not. So go to Spotify if you want to hear the chazan, right? In other words, that's not. No, what daven? So why don't we daven like that? Because it's interesting. Whatever it is, we're spiritually inhibited. Just like I'm scared to, so to speak, let my spiritual hair down. I mean, it's the wrong metaphor for me, but you understand, right? In other words, right? I'm self-conscious about it. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm self-conscious about it. So like, I don't know, I'm going to look too from, or I'll look too this. People are going to say, who is he yelling at the top of his lungs? And the Rebbe said, meanwhile, what you don't even realize is your neshama is saying, let me out. Let me out. You've caged me all of these years. Let me out. And the whole year, says the Rebbe, we keep the neshama caged. And the whole year we keep the neshama in. And the whole year I'm scared to be, or I'm just nervous to be, or just not confident enough to be the true spiritual me. You know what I said? You know, when we first moved into the shul, so in this shul. So, you know, the front wall of the shul is Jerusalem stone. So whenever I'm there on Shabbos, you know, I'm always makbid to kiss the stones. Mamish, like, it's stones of Yerushalayim. Stones of, not Yerushalayim, from the south, right? So I call it Jerusalem stone, but it's not from Yerushalayim. Right? From Eretz Yisrael. And someone saw me do it. They're like, what are you doing? I said, what am I doing? V'ratzu avadeas avanel. Right? Who doesn't want the stones of Eretz Yisrael? They're right here. They're my fingertips. Of course, I'm going to kiss it. He's like, ah. I said, come on. You know you want to kiss it. He's like, no. I'm like, you know you want to kiss it. He's like, fine. I want to kiss it. I said, go and kiss it. Go and kiss it. So he's like this. He's like looking around. You know, like looking around over here. Looking around. And then he kissed it. What's the matter with you? Just go kiss it. A shtick Eretz Yisrael, a piece of Eretz Yisrael is sitting right in front of you, and you're not going to put your hands on it, and you're not going to put your lips on it. You're not going to just close your eyes for a moment and just put your head to it. What's the matter with you? Why not? Because people are going to look at you strange. Who cares? Stop caging the neshama. Just let the neshama out. Let it do its thing. And the Rebbe says the whole year, the neshama is caged. The whole year. Becomes the night of Pesach, the Rebbe says, you can't hold it back anymore. The neshama is like, I refuse to be caged. I refuse to be held back. So what happens? My riv is over. Okay, so maybe I could keep it together. My riv. Then the neshama is like, hollow right now. Come on, let's go home. It's late already. It says this year, right? First Seder is going to start late this year, right? Say, hollow, come on. We'll sing it to Seder. There's plenty of time. Shem's like, no, I'm not waiting. Now. I'm so tired of being hampered and stymied and constricted and caged by you, the body. Let me out. And that's the entire Avodah L'Asid. The Rebbe goes on, he says, He says, and when we get to the end of Halal and Shul, and we say the bracha, then Hashem is like, finally, Givaldik, this is incredible. And the Neshama literally is ready to like melt inside. He goes on, he says, Ribono Shel Olam, Zeu Be'emes HaTov Amiti. Really? The night of Pesach, it's the ultimate good. The true good. HaTov Shebechol HaAlamas HaLonim V'Tachtonim. The most beautiful and incredible thing that you could find in this world, in this sphere, in the celestial sphere. L'holos L'cha, or the Zamer L'Shmecha. And then the Rebbe goes on. And this is all, by the way, so far, this is all just Meiriv. It's all just Meiriv and Shul. Wait, we're not even up to the best part yet. Look at the left-hand paragraph. The Yoshev ala Seder. Oh, then I come to the Seder. Mekadesh v'omer ha'gada v'orech ha'shulchan. So Rabbi says, we make Kiddush. We go ahead and we say the Haggadah. And then we have the Su'uda. And I'll say, by the way, if you notice, what's missing over here from the Rebbe, right? By the way, that is a very fast Seder, as the Rebbe just described to me, right? I make Kiddush, I say the Haggadah, and the Rebbe's already up to the Su'uda. He's up to the meal. Ha-Su'uda Shame'in Su'uda Solom Haba. And that Su'uda is like Olam Haba. Rabbi says, I just want to tell you something. And we spoke about this last year, but we'll speak on this more. I want to tell you a little something. The Seder doesn't have to be filled with Divrei Torah. It doesn't have to. In fact, sometimes the reason why people dread the Seder is because everyone and their brother has something to say. Right? And in my mind, I've calculated it out. Okay, you know, this was going to say this, and it's going to go for 4 minutes. This is going to go this. And so I know that, okay, I got to pace it because we can't do too many different Torah by Karpas. Because if you get to Karpas, and there's Yachas, and then by Yachas, and then by Magid, Manashtana, 73 people are saying Manashtana, and they'll have a Dvar Torah on it, and this, that. And like already, like I'm schwitzing, I'm anxious, you know, I need like a Prozac, you know, like I, like, you know, I'll even take the Shlomovitz right now. Just give me anything. I want to tell you something amazing. Sometimes, we'll talk about this more as we get closer to Pesach. Sometimes the most beautiful Seder is not even where you have so many Divrei Torah. It's where you're singing. And it doesn't even have to be singing something in the Seder. Sometimes you can be in the middle of the Seder and there's a niggin that comes to your mind. And you just want to belt out like, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. And you sing that for 20 minutes. That's also a Seder. That's also Magid. That's all. See, it's Yes Mitzrayim. That's also it. So the Rebbe says, you know. So the Rebbe says, Magid, you'll do it whatever you want. Whatever you want to do with Magid, right? Whatever you want to do with it. You want to say a lot of Divrei Torah, a few Divrei Torah. You want to say no Divrei Torah, just sing the entire time. Whatever you're going to do, but just let the Neshama guide the way. Let the Neshama do its thing. Come to the Suda. Even the Suda, you know, a lot of times also by the Seder. Like, by the time you get to the Suda, right, what do you want to do by the time you get to the Suda?
Bench.
You just want a bench, right? Besides that, I want to say that again. We'll talk about this more. One has to be very makbid about this. Like, you know, generally, there is someone who has worked very hard to make a Suda. Whether it's a wife, a mother, whether you cook yourself, somebody's worked hard to make a Suda. And it's so important that at the Seder, that proper kavod be given to the Suda. And that proper time be given to the Suda. And to recognize that it's a Yom Tov Suda. And it shouldn't be rushed through. And that you don't have to eat 4 hard-boiled eggs, you know, beforehand, you know, and everything. Like, even though you're hungry. You know, just to understand, like, there's a way to do a Seder. There's a way to conduct a Seder. He goes on, he says, Gami vari haguf ozvim kivaras gufam. Even the limbs of the body, so to speak, to a certain degree, almost like detach from the body itself. He goes on, he says, Hachushim es chushem, the senses, ultimately again, even they're different. Everything physically is different on this night. V'kulam mishtachavim u'mispatlim la'ashem shekol kach is karev en leinu ato. And everything, the body, the limbs, the senses, everything is subservient to the Ribono Shel Olam. Af hashulchan, even the table, haneros v'aksalim, the candles, the walls, kulanu yachad nasim chativa achos. Everything becomes one like unified unit of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kulanu Kor, look at the Rebbe says, and we all bow down to Hashem. Bochim, we cry. We cry, Bosa, you know? You think to yourself, who cries at the Seder? Who cries at the Seder? You know who cries at the Seder? Right? People who uncage their neshamas cry at the Seder. Because there's freedom. because there's untold possibilities, because there's spiritual storminess, because all of this is unfolding right here in front of me. All of this stuff is occurring right now. Who doesn't cry? Who doesn't cry at the Seder? Smichim u'mahalalim. I'm joyous. I'm praising. L'hodo v'tifarto yisbarach. Me'ein olam haba na'ase bahem. Literally, again, everything is me'ein olam haba. Everything is me'ein olam haba. Yalo sodai v'chol asher bo. Like we say in Kabbalah Shabbos. Literally, again, the field, everything will sing praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Az yiraninu kol atzayar. Kulam, kulanu, kulam, neshamos tahoros. The kulam yachad ovdim umishabchim lahod kidushaso asher nizgal le'inehem. Everything and everyone is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The neshama, the guf, everything is serving Hashem. The kama gadol ha'isha yisraeli, shemamshich halayla hazeh mikol ha'shona b'tamid shakua hu b'tara. Shabbos, I see, you should just know that something interesting happened at the Leil HaSeder. To a certain degree, the Leil HaSeder is like the composite of everything that's come before it, and ultimately again provides the Kedusha for everything that's going to come after it. V'tamid shakua b'tara Kedusha v'tzichtzuach elyon kazeh. So we'll say, this is how the Rebbe describes the Leil HaSeder. Now, why is this important? You'll say to yourself, okay, but like we're 2 weeks out. Literally, mamish, 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks from Masa Shabbos. We're 2 weeks out. So why are we doing this? I'm supposed to say that. And so I want to tell you why this is an incredibly important piece. First of all, l'chaim, l'chaim. L'chaim, l'chaim, to just the Mirat Hashem. Halavai, we should be zocha to just have a little bit of a Leil HaSeder, like the Piaget's does Leil HaSeder. L'chaim, l'chaim. Shabbos, so why are we mentioning this here? Why are we getting to this now? Because what's very important is as follows. Emirat Hashem b'shal tov u'mitzlachos. So Sunday, Matzei Shabbos Sunday, is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Haba alinu l'tova. And b'nisan nigalu, b'nisan asidin ligoel. And I will say, we have to realize that if we want a Leil HaSeder like this, like if I want a Leil HaSeder of uncaging the neshama, of literally, again, allowing my entire body to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I want to feel 2 weeks from Matzei Shabbos, and I want to come from Ma'ariv, and when Ma'ariv is over, I want to feel like I don't want to go home yet. I don't want to go home yet. Right? I want to say challah. If you want to feel like that, the preparation for that begins with Rosh Chodesh. You can't roll into this. Right? You can't have this type of spiritual experience without preparation. So by definition, there has to be. And when does the preparation? Well, the preparation could start even tonight. But at least to give ourselves a real start point, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. You know, say the power of Rosh Chodesh in general is Rosh Chodesh represents a new beginning. Rosh Chodesh represents a new opportunity. And every single month need not be a replica of the one that came before it. And when Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, especially Rosh Chodesh Nisan, where there's such an energy of renewal, such an energy of emancipation, we can go ahead and change ourselves and make ourselves into something different. And if you want a Leil HaSeder, if you want a Pesach like the Piaget's not just described, then it's something you have to do, and you have to do it between tonight and over Shabbos. What are you changing about yourself and your life? Comes Matzei Shabbos. Comes Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Comes that first Yalev Yavo. What's going to be different about who I am and the way that I live? Because if I'm not ready to make the necessary changes come the new month, I won't have a Seder like this. Well, so you know what the Seder will be like? So it'll be like every other Seder, right? Which is, right, how are most, and it's so tragic. How are most Sdarim conducted? How are most Sdarim conducted? How are they conducted? Quickly. Right? Quickly, right? In other words, like, let's do this, right? Call it, right? Again, Pesach, Matzah, Mar, check, right? Good. Avakosos, check. Good, and let's go. Chagadya, good. Okay, thank you. Right? Good night. And, right? And again, Yosizayin. I will say, and there's such a missed opportunity, but again, my neshama is not going to be awakened unless, of course, I start preparing. Preparation begins Chodesh Nisan. And if we decide, again, I will say, don't choose 10 things you're going to do. Choose one thing you're going to do. What's the one thing that I am starting Matzei Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Maybe for some of us, it's going to be I'm going to daven with a minyan at least once a day. Okay, Tefillah B'Tzibur is great. Maybe for others, I'm going to set aside time to learn Torah every day. Maybe for others, I'm going to speak to my wife in a nice, whatever it is, whatever, No, I was saying, you're a newlywed. You definitely can't. Right? So let me say, whatever it is, not even kidding about it, right? In other words, so many of us have things we have to fix in our marriages, things we have to fix in our relationships. Whatever it is, your Kabbalah doesn't have to be being Adam Lamaka. It goes to be Adam Lechavero. But choose something that you're doing Chodesh Nisan. Because if I choose something that's a Kabbalah, then I stand a better chance of unlocking the caged neshama comes Pesach night. Let's begin the next piece. We have a few more minutes left. So we'll say, let's take a look. Turn the page. So this is beautiful. So we'll say, I just want to point out something really beautiful in Manishtano. Let's see. The Rebbe says, Lisragish. So the Rebbe says, Zeh Yisod HaChassidus. We'll at least begin this evening. We're not gonna finish it or do it justice. But in Meretz Hashem, we'll at least begin to take a look at it. So we'll say, so what you need to know is follows. Zeh Yisod HaChassidus. She's part these lives. Let me talk about this outside a little bit. The Rebbe says, and I will say, this is very, you know, part of the beauty. You know, people have asked me like, you know, okay, we've been learning the Piaget stuff for how long now? Like
3 years.
3 years. So I said, okay, like there are other Rebbes. There are other Rebbes that we could learn. Of course, and it's true. There are so many others. Like part of the beauty of learning from a particular Rebbe for a sustained amount of time is, first of all, he becomes your Rebbe. As opposed to a Rebbe, right? I think many of us feel like if somebody were to ask you, like, who's your Rebbe? I feel like you could say, like, the Piaget is my Rebbe. Now, they might look at you a little bit strange, right? Right? But Lamaisa said, but it's still MS. Who's my Rebbe? The Piaget is my Rebbe. Of course, I learn with the Piaget every single Thursday night. I have Yechidos with the Piaget every single Thursday night. It's not a Shiloh. The Piaget is my Rebbe. Every Yid has to have a Rebbe. If you don't have a Rebbe, there's something missing in your life. Piaget is my Rebbe. And I will say, part of the beauty of learning the Rebbe's Torah week in and week out is there are certain themes that we see that become familiar and certain concepts that become ingrained within us. So this is one of these. The Rebbe says, one of the most important things in Yiddishkeit, Zeh Yisod HaChassidus, if a person wants to be a chassid, and by chassid, he doesn't mean like the guard, he means someone wants to be a pious individual, Sheyispael V'yislaiv. You have to have the midah of passion. Person has to possess the ability to become passionate. And Abbas, let's talk about this just a moment. The Rebbe says, if you notice, by the way, we'll see, he says, Ubdvarim nemuchim yaschil v'esragshus gufanis yisagelis orabah l'kedusha. And the Rebbe says, by the way, I need you to be passionate. By the way, I want to point out, he says, I don't mean you have to be passionate about Torah. I don't mean you have to be passionate about tefillah. I don't mean you're passionate about tzedakah or passionate about mitzvahs. The Rebbe says, rather, what do I need you to be passionate about? Passionate about? Something. Something. Just be passionate about something. Possess the midah of passion. Because the Rebbe says, you know what the greatest challenge in life is? Sometimes we are dispassionate about everything. What am I excited about? Nothing. Right? What do I get excited about? Nothing. I'm kind of like even killed. I'm a happy guy. Happy guy, right? I'm happy about everything. Right? I'm fine. It's good. But what gets you excited? Sometimes the answer is not. The Rebbe says that's a problem. Something needs to get you excited. Whether it's, what was the concert? What was the concert you were murmuring about before?
Beth Tefillah.
Beth Tefillah. There's a Beth Tefillah concert?
Every Shabbos.
Oh, Mamish. Oh. Okay, what were the other concerts you made references to before?
There are probably lots of concerts.
Yeah? Okay, fine. But again...
My call is going to hear this.
That's right. That's true. Smart man. By the way, and what the Rebbe is saying is, be able to identify something you're passionate about. You're passionate about football? Good. You're passionate about, music? What?
Pickleball. Music.
It's just weird. All right, fine. We'll take it. The Rebbe says, it's okay. It doesn't, initially at least, it doesn't even matter exactly what you're passionate about. Just be passionate about something. Because if you're passionate about something, then you have that midah of passion. Once you have that midah, then we can figure out how to channel it. But the greatest challenge in life, says the Rebbe, and this Kabbalah will say, is being dispassionate. Dispassionate people never really accomplish things in their spirituality. Why? Because true spiritual growth and accomplishment requires passion. So the Rebbe says, just make sure you have it and cultivate it, even with something that is quote-unquote unholy. Not unholy, but even with something that's not holy per se. Cultivate that midah, And once you have an Emirat Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yossi, we'll stop over here for tonight with this. We're going to pick up Emirat Yerushalayim next week with this piece. We're going to do two more pieces from the Rebbe Amana Shtana, and then Emirat Hashem the Thursday before Pesach. I don't know. We'll see.
That's
going to be hard with Mechiras Chama. Sorry, right, we'll figure it out. Rabbi Yossi, Shabbat everyone. Mezumin. Mayor, go ahead.
Thank you.